101.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning. Good morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 8th of April, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Good yawning this morning. We got a full show of things to talk about. This morning, I would like to start the show by saying thank you to BAIC that brought in a gift of local produce. I guess as we kick off Agribusiness Expo Week, they've brought in some goodies. And I'm holding in my hand right now a little cantaloupe. A little local. Did y'all know that we grow cantaloupes locally? Did you know that we grow cantaloupes locally? We grow a variety of cantaloupes, and it has a special name. They call it this variety that grows in the Bahamas. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
I see you calling a melon a cantaloupe. That's a melon.
First of all, a cantaloupe is a melon.
That's what I'm saying. It's a melon.
It's a melon.
And you're trying to change the name on behemoths.
But the ones we grow in the Bahamas have a particular name. I'm going to go to the caller quickly. And caller, if you could tell me the name, you could win. Oh, the caller gone? Well, caller, I don't know why you were calling in then. Anyway, Mr. Nuri, we grow mushmelons in the Bahamas. Have you ever seen a mushmelon?
Does it look like a cantaloupe?
It looks like a cantaloupe.
And then I see a mushmelon then.
But it's mushmelons don't necessarily grow in this ovoid shape that a cantaloupe grows into.
Is it smooth?
No, not the texture of the outside, the shape of it. Oh. They tend to look like mushy because they grow like around the rock. It's very weird and wild, but they're beautiful and they're sweet, absolutely sweet.
Okay.
So I'm claiming one of these cantaloupe that BAIC sent to us, and I'm going to turn it into cantaloupe passion fruit lemonade.
Okay, nice.
In honor of Agribusiness Expo weekend. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
It's going inside the...
All right. Caller, give it 1 second. It's true right now. Just give it a second.
It's true now.
Oh, good morning. Morning, caller.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am fine, and you?
I'm good, thank you.
What about a honeydew melon?
We do grow honeydews here. I think they require a little more cultivation, a little more attention, a little more work.
Mm-hmm.
The mushmelon is hardy, like a Bahamian man. You know, he get up in the morning. You don't need to love him up too much. He's going to hit the road and go to work. Come back home sweet, sweet, sweet. Mushmelon and cantaloupe and honeydew melon are all fruit that can grow in the Bahamas. We've got lots of news today. I want to start the show by thanking everyone that came out to support the Hannah Hasty Tynes Walkathon and Souse out this Saturday at St. John's College campus. Family members and all the non-family members that joined us in this fundraiser. Mr. Nuri, mm-hmm. Did you hear the big news?
What is the big news?
The big news is that Esther Hannah Culmer beat me on the walkathon.
You should feel shame.
I mean, I don't feel shame. I can tell you why.
Why don't feel shame?
I did the external route. She did the on-campus route. Mm. So first of all, like a true Bahamian, I don't accept the loss because I didn't see her win. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, when I came back off the off-campus route, she was sitting on the bench, right? Face all rosy, but she hadn't broken a sweat. And the people look at me and they say, man, Green, she beat you bad.
She stopped sweating.
She done stopped sweating. In fact, she ain't break. They say she ain't even break a sweat. That's how good she did on the course.
Okay.
The external course was 3.5 kilometers.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a nice walk.
Yeah.
We had a number of people come out and join us for the inaugural Hannah Hastie Tynes Walkathon.
You'll have more walkathons?
I hope so. Okay. I think it's a great initiative, right? I think it's a great initiative, for especially for family associations.
You had a crowd. All kind of people came.
Yeah. It's staggered over time. We had a nice crowd. A pocket here, a pocket there. Mm-hmm. A number of people came out and said, listen, I get up at 5:30 in the morning to go walking. So I did my walk, and then I came out to support y'all. Okay. I bought some sauce, hung out, talked for a bit. It was a good time. Yeah. So when y'all see Esther Hannah Culmer, tell her, congratulations. She is still the champion walker.
When is your...
First through fourth. Yeah. August. Emancipation holiday, that weekend right there. Mm-hmm. That's us.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to be all throughout New Providence. We're going to be reaching out to our other HHT family who will be celebrating homecoming in Acklands on the same weekend.
Okay, you might have to do a Zoom or a big picture thing.
Yeah, right, like especially like maybe on the beach picnic day.
Yeah.
If we could get a big screen and then project like a Zoom,
yeah.
We tune into their activities and they
yeah.
could tune into ours.
Yeah, that should be
but
nice.
This is good stuff for family associations, right? You noticed a couple of weeks ago, the Bahamas Baptist Association, they reorganize a whole sporting federation.
Nice.
The Baptist community said, listen, sports and health and wellness is so important that we're going to begin to create infrastructure within our community to support our members on their health journey and on their wellness journey.
I remember when the Baptist was active, I remember playing softball in a Baptist Transfiguration League, volleyball. They had an egg and spoon race too when I was younger.
Yeah.
And a lot of activities into church. I'm not sure if they do that anymore, but I just remember participating on Jean Street, wherever Jean Street is. It's place on East.
Yeah, but that's south of Bernard Road, right? That'll take you. Jean Street connects from Prince Charles.
I was young when I was there, so yeah. I just remember.
That's where Bahamas Baptist College is.
Yes.
But that's great. Community organization, because communities come in all different sizes, just like gangs come in all different sizes. We're going to talk a bit about the new gang legislation. But there was lots of news on the weekend. 3 days and counting for forest fire in North Andres. Eyewitness News story that came out on the 5th. That's Friday. And then another story, police monitoring Andres forest fire. Police in Andres are monitoring a forest fire on the island. An official confirmed tonight. Police said the fire began in Nicholstown on Thursday. Not say what caused the blaze, which is said to be mostly contained. There were no reported injuries. Meanwhile, investigations are continuing. There are no reported injuries to humans. But I'm sure we would request our local environmentalists go in and make an assessment. Right, we have many, many unique species of flower, plant, and animal that live in our Andres forests. We hope that that is contained. I saw another story, I didn't write it down, from earlier in the year when Andres got its first, Andres got a new fire truck. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hoping that that fire truck was functional and able to contain and put out the fire. And on that note, Bearing Point Fish Fry. Mm-hmm. Fish Fry Fest is coming up, I think, April 27th. I got a text here that says, growing up on the island, muskmelons and watermelon was plentiful. Mm. Oh, look here, watermelon was so plentiful. My Grammy Corinne Mitchell, whenever I'd ask her what she'd like to eat, I'd go get her something to eat. She'd say, you bring me anything once a day in watermelon. Mm-hmm. She said, I eat so much watermelon when I was a child. She said, only Christ could bring me watermelon for me to eat. Otherwise, I don't want it. And so we pray that the fire is quickly contained in Andrus. Another quick story. Yesterday, the Bahamas Department of Meteorology released a statement on the solar eclipse. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a solar eclipse today. The eclipse will start at 1:55 p.m. local time and will end at 4:15 p.m. with maximum coverage occurring at 3:06 p.m. Spectators in the Northwest Bahamas will be able to view between 35% and 45% of the eclipse. These islands include Northwest Bahamas, include New Providence, Grand Bahama, Abaco, Bimini, Eleuthera, Andrus, and Eleuthera. Spectators in the Central Bahamas will be able to view between 28% and 35% of the eclipse. These islands include the Exuma Keys, Great Exuma, Cat Island, Rum Key, Sansal, and Long Island. Spectators in the Southeast Bahamas will be able to view between 20% to 28% of the eclipse. These islands include Ragged Island, Crooked Island, Acklins, Mayaguana, and Inagua. The Department of Meteorology wishes to emphasize that safety is the most important thing to consider during any solar eclipse. Looking directly into the sun is unsafe as it poses the risk of permanent damage to the eyes resulting in diminished vision and can bring about other optical health complications such as cataracts and lenses. The only safe way to look directly at the sun during an eclipse is through special purpose solar filters such as eclipse glasses or handheld solar viewers. Homemade filters or... Yes, sir?
No, I'm listening for the homemade stuff because luckily they're not considering poor people. I can't buy no glasses.
Homemade filters or ordinary sunglasses, even polarized dark shades, are not safe for looking at the sun as we observe this highly anticipated event. The ministry, as well as the Department of Meteorology, admonishes all Bahamians and visitors to adhere to the guidance provided to protect your eyes. Now, whether you agree or disagree with the health warning, just know that it may take you 2.5 years to get an appointment to see an eye doctor.
Yeah, there you go.
In case you do experience some damage. I have a text that says, he saw a notice that said, don't look at the eclipse because it will permanently blind you. But people in the Bahamas will look directly into the eclipse while taking a selfie, and we will have to deal with blind, crazy people in Japanese cars.
Okay. Perhaps we shouldn't tell Bahamians that an eclipse is happening.
Oh, no, I think it's the opposite.
Just tell them about it?
Right, because... I'm
always thinking about poor people. Like, poor people are aware of the eclipse. You know they can't buy no glasses. What do poor people do when they're tempted to watch things?
Don't.
Don't do what?
Live. At least don't use your eyes.
Use what? There you go. If they didn't tell us, we wouldn't look. Why the sun died?
I don't think that's how it works. Yeah. I prefer the route of advising people, particularly drivers.
Yeah. So imagine a children that have no glasses, and you tell them don't look. What do you think they can do?
But they were going to look anyway.
Yeah. But if they wasn't know it, the place is going dark, they wouldn't look.
They'll see that the place is going dark.
They'll eat lunch, be quiet, and say, my God, the world coming to the end. Call Columbus.
Children deserve more than that.
Okay. Thing a look.
I mean, you don't think the children deserve to know?
I guess
what's happening in the world around them?
I'm just saying that now we have an issue. Anyway, let's go to this caller.
Absolutely. Good morning, caller.
Is that me?
Yes, it is. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, yeah. I'm all right. It's the reason why I called back, right?
Yes.
I want to... So, what happened? Selling eclipse glasses nowadays?
Yes.
Because during the time I could have seen, they used to use some type of darkest plastic, brownish color,
mm-hmm.
and for the that was with the lens, and for the handle of those shades, you had a piece of cardboard that attached onto the shades.
Mm-hmm.
To hold around the ears, to keep it around the ears. And so if they are selling glasses now, eclipse glasses now,
mm-hmm.
I would like for you to explain that to me, or somebody explain it to me, because in those days it wasn't a problem to get eclipse glasses.
Well, science,
like I said, which was a sort of piece of plastic, and your dad plastic, I think it was brownish color, if I remember right, and a white handle on it.
Brayman, so I got a text here that says that that Eclipse glasses must have specialized filters that meet the international standard, ISO 12312-2. Those should be worn to prevent eye damage. And so perhaps the technology has advanced.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would like to know how they described it. How what it looked like.
I tell you what, I haven't touched a pair of Eclipse glasses, and I don't recall seeing a pair, right? Like,
not
I can't describe
that,
it to you. But
not
go on.
Only that, they like had no weight to it.
Very light.
If you see what I'm saying.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you see the 1974 total solar eclipse?
No, I was blind at that time.
Okay.
But I've seen the one before.
Okay, what year was that?
Honestly, I don't remember the year, but it's been a long time.
All right. Thank you very much.
I was in my teens then, I think.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I got a text that says you can also slotted spoon with round holes in it. In this important part, with your back toward the sun. So you're not looking into the sun. You're going to put your back facing the sun, hold up the spoon to the sheet of paper, and watch the solar eclipse project an image. Okay.
Okay. I mean, I was listening to see what they're saying, and that mm-hmm. actually makes sense. You know, you see the shadow. The guy there, you're looking at shadows.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. Morning, Nuri.
Good morning. How you do?
I'm fine. Since I'm an old soldier, they are giving us not over here. You should have done it. They are giving us shades.
In the States?
Yeah, the special mace, they say.
Absolutely.
Red area.
Absolutely, thank you.
Right, but instead of, I hear the school wondering, you know, can the children stay inside the classroom, eh?
Well, what I've seen, Pumpkin Eater, in the U.S. is that for months now, students and parents have known that schools in the path of the eclipse will be closed. And perhaps that's the measure, Mr. Nuri, that's the measure that the schools have taken, right? That they know that kids are going to want to look at it, right?
Right.
And so what they do is keep kids home from school.
Right, how they did.
And let the parents manage them, right? Let the parents provide oversight.
Right.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, there are a number of schools, and people have raised, a lot of people in the U.S., they're asking the question, why would you need to close a school in, right, the wake of or for a total solar eclipse? But perhaps the reason is that it's effective for parents to manage their own kids than the small number of teachers to manage a class of students during the event.
Good. I think our school over there, 3. And this eclipse is between 3 and that, I think I sent you something over there, 4:15.
Mm. Yeah.
That's when it ends.
Yeah, 4:15, the Met Office. I just read the Met Office.
All right, right. I heard you read it, right.
Absolutely.
Right. So what I'm trying to say is then, you mentioned management. The school should have been, there should be no school today.
Well, see, again, what the local meteorology statement indicates is that we won't have full coverage, right? So we're looking at 28 to 35, 35 to 45% is the maximum.
They mentioned the islands, too.
Yeah.
That would have
Northwest,
more,
Central,
more coverage.
And Southeast Bahamas.
Right. But North, we'll have more.
Thank you. So do you feel that the meteorology departments or the government's coverage and oversight of this event is sufficient?
No, I think it's poor.
All right. Thank you, Pumpkin Eater.
It's poor. Before I go, that this thing was done from last week.
Man, we knew it was coming from 1974. This is like Christmas and election. We knew it was coming.
Yeah, you know it's coming, but it's poor work.
Thank you very much, Pumpkin Eater.
Have a good day.
You too. I've got a text here that says, top of the morning to you and your co-host, did you know NASA will be firing rockets at the eclipse for atmospheric testing?
They shooting at the moon?
No, I mean, forget the moon and cover it.
Yeah. Maybe they should shooting be. At the moon?
Why would they be? First of all, I would say nobody asked me. Mm. Nobody asked me if I thought it was a good idea to fire rockets into the path of a solar eclipse.
I think the U.S. owns the moon. They put a flag on it. I know when colonists put flags on things, they own it. Ask Columbus. I claim this the name. Yeah. They own that moon. You try go land there and see if they can complain.
This is what I'm saying, right? Like, NASA's taking this opportunity to do some testing, right? In this, I would say for some people, once in a lifetime event. If you're lucky enough, you may have seen it twice in your lifetime. But I don't need to know. I don't care what the question is, and I don't need to know what the answer is. There's no question that you have to ask, I think, that warrants firing rockets into the path of a solar eclipse. If God wanted us to know the answer, he would put it in a book.
In the future, we shall be living in space. You need to learn these things.
I mean, technically, we're living in space now, but don't tell anybody because space rental is far worse than life at Key Rental. Far, far. But this is very interesting. So I think the most important message is this. I think it's important to let people know what to expect today. The worst that could happen is that people become startled while driving and lose control of their car.
Then look up.
And panic.
What's happening?
Right. And say, Jesus, you ready to take the wheel? I didn't know you was ready. Take it.
Rapture happening now.
Absolutely. For real. Citizens deserve that. See, it doesn't matter how foolish you think citizens are or you think their belief systems are. As a government in particular, that's not your judgment to make, right? It's not a judgment for the government to make. The point is that people have a right to information and the state has an obligation to disseminate that information in the most accessible ways possible. So if people think solar eclipse is a sign of rapture, the end of times, you don't say, oh, these people are just foolish. Don't tell them nothing because they're going to do more. They deserve the access, right? They have a right to the information.
Does God still do signs? Wonders and stuff like that? Or that's finished with? That's like Old Testament type thing.
I was thinking, did they give God the contract for the no left turn signs? Mm-hmm. Turn on left signs? Because if they did, then no, God is not making signs anymore.
No signs and wonders. Just checking.
Did you see the video of the white vehicle that crashed into the solar panel
stand? Yes, it did see the bike.
It's an Independence Drive roundabout?
Yeah, I saw that.
On the southwestern quadrant.
It must have been flying.
Did you see the video of the small black car that tried to eat a tree?
Yes, I saw that.
I want to say, first of all, I'm so thankful that the person that was in the vehicle is safe.
And I saw the clip, the video of the person who turned over on Shirley Street and said, how fast should you have been going or could have been going on Shirley Street?
Did that accident take place near Market Street?
Is it? Nah, it's like a little before that.
Because on Saturday, I think when I was trying to make my way through town, I was at Market Street North, looking right, heading into Peck Slope. Mm-hmm. I'm at the red light, and I saw one of those little green scooters, mm-hmm. little electric scooters with no helmet, and not sure if they have insurance and no instructions about you must wear proper shoes. And there was just a pile of debris in the middle of the road in front of that scooter. And I thought, I wanted to take a picture, but I was driving. And when you go on the radio all the time and talk about driving culture, you must follow the rules, right? Mm-hmm. So I said, no, I can't whip out my camera to take a picture. Then I drove up Peck Slope, I said, and try to find some place to park and walk back down, but it was hot. And I say, I could probably get hit in that intersection if there's already. So I didn't. On that Saturday, I made my way through town. I got to East Street, crossed over Shirley Street, heading to Bay Street, and the traffic was just building up. Little did I know that Bay Street was partially closed for road works or road paving or something. Did you know that Bay Street was partially closed on Saturday?
No, but I celebrate any kind of road paving happening in the Bahamas.
Oh, so now me and you can row. That's not a problem. You just celebrate it. I wanted to make this point. What is the point of putting the road closed sign on the road immediately in front of the road closure. We had the police on. You had the police on. In fact, the flyer's right there. Grab the flyer for me, Mr. Nuri. There's a police flyer right there. Mm-hmm. About the police expo. Oh, no, there's something different. About the police expo. They're having a technology expo.
Yeah, today.
Today. It starts today until Wednesday, right? Mm-hmm. My greatest concern is that we have not mastered the low tech that we have, the low-level technology that we have, and we prepared to fast forward onto this new tech. Let me take this phone call quickly, and then I'm going to get back to the lack of road closure signs in New Providence. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Good, thank you. How you do?
Everything all in on. Thank God for life. Pop here for those who didn't catch the voice. I sound like y'all getting a little open line going there anyway.
Seems so.
Kind of. Hey, I mean, that's one way of saying it, Papa.
Huh?
That's one way of saying it.
Yeah, kind of.
Blessings.
Yes, ma'am. You know, before I ask this question, I had a hair Berman earlier, but I was thinking about this. I was wondering, like, if the eclipse could do anything for blind people.
If what?
The eclipse.
The eclipse could do anything. They say if you stare in it without the shades, it could damage your eyes. I want to ask.
As a blind person?
If it could reverse.
Like the nerves damaging my eyes, if it'll affect me or if it'll do
try it.
No, pause.
Don't try it?
No.
I say try it.
I mean,
Papa,
I was going
to
say. Papa, I can tell you right now what you have to lose, right?
Try it.
Technology is advancing at a rate
that
so quickly that in the next year even, the world may have devised a technology that can repair the damage to your nerves that you thought were irreparable.
No, I never said I thought it because I hear they doing some things now. I'm talking, right? But I think it's unreparable or...
Right, so why risk damaging your eyes any further if it's possible?
I'm thinking, like how they say it'll hurt the eyes, minds, that's just a question. Check this one out.
Yeah,
I believe in miracles. Try it.
I believe in miracles too, but I guess...
You don't think Jerome Fitzgerald used up all the miracles we have left in the kitty? You don't think he used up all? Pardon?
You say who used up all the miracles?
So nobody, sorry.
So listen.
Papa.
Listen, check this out.
Yes, sir.
You know the thing what they call AI?
Yes.
I just wonder maybe y'all could bring in some professionals or just give y'all professional view.
I want to have a conversation.
One of these times. Yeah, man. On the show now or maybe when y'all have some time. Why I said it right? I was listening to something on WhatsApp, and I'm sure, no, not sure, I most believe it got to be something to do with AI. That couldn't be, and so...
What do you mean? You mean...
President Biden saying, or Timo, that Donald Trump and Obama... I mean, that Donald Trump is a better president than him and Obama put together.
Oh, yeah, that's an app. Somebody used it.
You too. They could do that to me too.
Absolutely.
They could have you saying things that we never expect will come out here in Green Mountain.
Exactly. And that's proper.
That's why I say we should talk about it one of these times. I wonder, like, if they could do a whole news clip. I mean, how
we
could go with that? Would we be able to tell the difference? And if somebody was offended or they break
and what's the recourse?
Something happened bad, would we be able to get, like, sue them or... I mean, this AI thing is very... They say it's good, but it sounds like it could be dangerous, too. I'll hang up and listen. Y'all keep up the good work.
Absolutely. Thank you, Papa. I've been having these conversations, but yes, I do want to have a quick conversation. You could imagine somebody send out a fake voice note with my voice saying, I win the Mega Ball. And I given away money? No, I don't like it at all. Good. Oh, I'm sorry, we lost you. Caller, I've got some texts here. It says, the worst that could happen is the eclipse blocks out Wi-Fi signal. You don't think people will panic? You don't think the whole of the Bahamas will panic if we lose Wi-Fi coverage, if we lose data and Wi-Fi coverage? I mean, that is literally the end of many people's worlds, and I'm not being trivial. I'm not being trivial at all. This device and social media platforms on it, for many people, are the ways in which they stay connected to the world. Many of our elderly family members and community members use this phone, WhatsApp, Facebook, to communicate, to maintain the agency that they used to have when they were under their own speed. Remember when your Grammy used to just get in the car and you say, Grammy, where you going? I can come. And she'd tell you, no, I got business. But now Grammy have to come and ask you if you could take her on her business. This phone gives people a lot. It empowers. It has the capacity to empower us. Texia says school should be closed, especially because of what you said. Kids have plans to look at it, and when people go to pick up their kids, there may be some serious traffic problems, fatalities, and accidents. Another text here says, this morning my niece in the U.S. told me that her entire school will be watching the eclipse and unprompted, and she'll be safe because she has her glasses. She also told me the last time she watched, she was in kindergarten. These children today. And then another text says, a non-Japanese SUV turned over by Mackie and Shirley Street. Ah, you're right. I saw some of that debris too. In fact, I think I drove through that on a Saturday. I drove through the aftermath, maybe. So that maybe that was two accidents at Shirley and Mackie Street this weekend. There was also the debris by the scooter. Thank you, texter. Mr. Newry, this weekend. Another text. Good day, Miss Green. I attend the Greek church on West Street. I was so annoyed that at the road closure, it took 25 minutes to get from PMH to West Street. Why wasn't a sign placed way ahead so I could take detours? So angry, I missed half of church. Let me tell you how enraging it is. So imagine I did the walkathon, Mr. Newry, and I beat the road bad. And all my foot was cramping up. You know, you when you just wake it out until you go home and then you take your leg off and put them in the ice. Mm-hmm. And so to imagine, I expect that it's going to take me max 10 minutes to get through town. And it took me almost 25 minutes to get through town. And the most frustrating part is not just that you don't have any detour signs where it would be most convenient for drivers. You have a gentleman directing traffic on his cell phone. Just directing traffic on his cell phone. I had a public service union driver that, even though I had the right of way and the road was clear enough for me to enter the lane, he decided he's tired of waiting behind his red light and he's going to run the stop sign, daring me to use my right of way. I want to say the good morning to the police officer that very politely, I wouldn't say this, he was very polite. He really was trying to de-escalate the situation. Unfortunately, he was trying to de-escalate the situation by convincing me that he had nothing to do with it, and so he had nothing to do with it. Why can't police officers give drivers warnings? I didn't ask you to give the man a ticket for running the red light. I said, sir, why you don't just go to this boy and say to him, don't run red lights even when you're frustrated. That's all. Not one detour sign anywhere. But when right-thinking people attempt to offer sensible critique about how their country functions, you all get upset and attempt to crucify people. You attempt to destroy them. I don't think God likes that. I think that's very unchristian. And while you all are out here, Bahamians, demanding that you get the best pay for the work that you do, and you have to ask yourself, do you deserve the best pay for the work that you do? And let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Aaron, I get to say there's a huge fire going on in North Andover.
It's still going on?
No, the Guardian reporters know about it.
Well, I you're right. I haven't seen coverage in the Guardian, but I talked about it this morning at the top of the show.
You're right.
Well, when I
informed me to bring it back up again, the folks who are listening to the show, they are... I think the two fire trucks tend to wet the roof, throw some water on the roof.
Oh, so you're saying the buildings in the area, they need to shift now to protection mode and use the fire trucks to protect the remaining structures in the path of the fire?
Mm-hmm. Right, and there's a wind going on, too.
So you got a high wind that's making it problematic.
I think they need a tractor.
To go in clear line.
To push that fire back.
Right, and maybe even to do a burn line to contain it with fire. Okay.
I hope the Guardian reporters are monitoring it.
But if they're not...
If there's a breaking news, they're quite breaking in. But it's dangerous right now.
Okay, thank you very much for that update, Pumpkin Eater. And I'll make sure after the show, I'll go to the newsroom and let them know. Thank you. Good morning, caller. Other caller, we just miss you. I was just ending the call with Pumpkin Eater. Let me go back to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron Kyle.
How you do?
Fine, thank you. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Good morning to you. You watching the eclipse?
Listen, Aaron, this traffic thing and you and me, you know, are a serious pet peeve. I am trying to figure out when will we have an officer post at Mackey
and Shirley Street,
red light. For that right turn on red.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I almost had a taxi knock my vehicle on Friday because I refused my green light to his red light.
Yeah.
I continue on my way off Mackey onto Shirley, and I mean, I was going straight across to be able to turn out to the bridge, and I mean, he nearly ran me, and then he cursed at me.
Mm.
I was in the wrong. I apologize for not giving up my right away.
You right, like for not abdicating it to him?
Yes.
Because he's a soldier in the tourism army.
It's becoming a serious problem. Before I am begging the Royal Bahamas Police Force Traffic Unit, please send an officer there at least for a duration of about a week.
If only to just moderate behavior.
Yes.
Your presence.
So people can understand where right is right and wrong is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, cousin.
In fact,
I got two stories. Thank you so much. I got two stories, Nuri. And I say I can hold it back. I can hold it back unless somebody brings it up.
Yeah.
Two stories from last week. The first is code of conduct signed for taxi and public service drivers. The second set of stories, up to 25 years jail for gang members in proposed law. I tell you why I want to put those two stories together. Because sometimes it feels like tourism stakeholders believe they're in a tourism army and they're authorized to operate outside of the normal rules and regulations that govern life in the Bahamas. Sometimes they carry on like they special people, like they're emergency vehicles, and they could turn their siren on at any time and ignore any traffic control. When we get back from the break, I'm going to continue through the text and I'm going to read from this article, Code of Conduct Signed for Taxi and Public Service Drivers. You guys, stay tuned. You're on the clock with Erin Green. Going to a quick break. We'll be right back.
Can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on. And what about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Bring your family, bring your friends, bring your gal. Come witness history in the making at the 2024 World Athletic Relays Chase the Sun, Paradise to Paris, happening here in Nassau, Bahamas. Hundreds of the best runners from more than 40 countries will compete for their place in the 2024 Paris Olympics, May 4th and 5th at the Thomas A. Robinson National Stadium. Get your tickets early at worldrelaysbahamas24.org or box office.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back. Let's get into this news story. Code of conduct signed for taxi and public service drivers. Taxi operators and public service drivers will now be governed by an official code of conduct following a signing between the Minister of Energy and Transport, JoBeth Colby-Davis, and Bahamas Taxi Cab Union President Wesley Ferguson on Friday. The signing took place during a press conference at the Bahama Convention Center, which also officially announced the 10% rise in taxi cab fares. Why did it have to take place at Bahama Convention Center? Okay, they have air conditioning. Let me tell you what a bad look it is for whoever it is that organized this event to have the press conference, a part of which you're going to use to announce a 10% fare hike in taxi rates. We already knew that the taxis weren't for ordinary Bahamians.
No.
You didn't have to have the press conference at Bahama to solidify that in our brains. Mm-hmm. The 10% increase is also a part of that. Mm-hmm. The fact that so many unregulated rideshare services are popping up all over the place is a clear indication that the taxi industry is not for Bahamians. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's so offensive that taxi drivers, and like the texter said here, not all, but many taxi drivers think they have a right to inconvenience ordinary Bahamians. They have a right to terrorize ordinary Bahamians on the road. They have a right to ignore red lights and stop signs, pedestrian crossings, and people in the road. Many of them act like they are part of an army, and they've been authorized by God to do money. I want to share something with y'all today, inspired by the needless amount of time I've spent in traffic over this weekend. We don't obey red lights and stop signs because we render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. We obey red lights and stop signs because we render unto God what is God's. Right? That's it. We follow the rules first and foremost because we respect God's creation. And we would not do anything to harm, injure, or worse, kill another living being. And maybe that's the problem that we're having with lawlessness right now, is that we think that when we break a law or ignore a law, it's a protest against the state. It's a protest against the political party in power. But it's a curse. You're damning your fellow citizens. We don't follow these rules because we render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. We follow these rules because we render unto God what is God's. Texas says, Miss Green, on the traffic, not all, but taxi and bus drivers on the road. This article is very interesting. I'll continue to read from it. In response to questions related to the monitoring and enforcement of the code, Mr. Sands said road traffic officers are assigned to, quote, key locations so that monitoring and so that they can police the discipline. Said road traffic officers are assigned to key locations. So Mackey and Shirley Street is not a key location. The number of taxis, limos, tour buses, rental cars, ATVs that run through that intersection, that's not a key location. Okay, no problem. No problem. Not at all. Road traffic controller Linda Moxie explained that a tribunal is conducted every Wednesday, adding that once a complaint is made, witnesses are gathered and the case is tried before the tribunal. The code of conduct, a copy of which was provided digitally, listed several provisions for public service drivers to adhere to, including vehicle appearance, disorderly conduct, a ban on smoking and alcohol consumption, littering, and solicitation. The code of conduct also aligns the disciplinary procedure, which categorizes breaches of the code between major and minor. Some minor license sale of items, barbering, littering, and non... Some people be cutting hair while they're driving? That's what barbering is, right?
Yes, barbering.
All right. Littering and non-compliance with dress codes. While major breaches can be drunken or disorderly conduct, lewd behavior, public urination, verbal abuse, threats, and sale of illegal substances, among other breaches. I thought that the road traffic code would be sufficient code of conduct for drivers, but maybe it's not. I've got a texter. Texter, that is perhaps the most offensive thing I've read in a hot minute. It says, the worst thing ever happened was when poor people could afford cars. I don't think that's... The worst thing could happen is when poor people are forced to buy cars to live normal lives, like to go to work and to school and to not get wet and get pneumonia every time it rains. Like poor people are forced to arrange their lives and not get things like health insurance for their children so that they could have to work on time. That's the problem. Good morning, Aaron and Yuri. I'm no PLP, but I agree with Brave on this one. Go get our $300 million. I'm paying too much taxes. Now the rest of the PMs were doing fool. Those Moses crew really need to be tried for treason and hung. Text, I have to get into the GBPA matter. Freeport, Grand Bahama, that's like Bimini. If you ain't from Bimini, you don't really talk about it, eh? Mm-hmm. Now the text, there are so many people who are doing nonsense on the road and upset that you in their way. More and more people are using the turning lane to jump traffic, trying to force themselves ahead of your car. I encountered one right by Bay and Nassau Street on Friday, two steps from the police station. Where are the police? This is heading toward road rage and violence if you don't stop these people. I texted last week about coming bumper to bumper with a black man in a non-rental cube traveling the wrong way on the roundabout by Bahama. Luckily, I was driving really slowly. I stopped and he stopped. We were both stopped for at least 40 seconds, and I thought to myself, he can't possibly be expecting me to reverse to let him proceed. But maybe he was. I bet you he was. I bet you he was. It is an absolute crisis, and I just wonder how many more tourists have to be injured, seriously. But I'm sure I've seen evidence of at least a minimum of three major accidents this weekend and evidence of at least five minor accidents on the road. Also, let me give you all a sense of why it is I'm convinced that the government does not have a handle on this traffic situation. Question, who is responsible for removing debris from the road after an accident? Who is responsible for removing debris from the road after an accident? See, we already... Oh, go on, sir.
I think the persons who were in the accident.
But, is it legislated?
But I think that we pay taxes.
So these things could be...
Yeah, to be collected, put sand. Because I can see the police putting sand in the road. I can envision that.
Mm-hmm. In Britain, the police are responsible for ensuring that the roadway is clear and safe, clear of any hazards and safe after an accident.
Well, I assume whatever I pay for licenses will cover that and insurance.
Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron Green.
Morning, sir. How you do?
Good morning. Yes, sir. Good morning, Mr. Neary. Listen to me. I had an experience over the weekend. I was out starting up in an area,
mm-hmm.
and a lady was at the T-junction. But the person cut the person that was turning through the corner, cut the corner short.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened is it ended up yucking a bumper off, and the lady was out of stop, a complete stop.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but the person who was turning cut the corner short. So they called the police. Everybody's telling her, call the police. She right, she had witness and everything.
Mm-hmm.
The person got on the phone, called the police.
Mm-hmm.
The police came, cut a long story. The man who cut the corner short, started speaking in Creole.
Mm-hmm.
And the police started speaking in Creole.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the police in uniform.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody started saying, oh, no, this ain't gonna go like this. The police could tell the people there who were signing up with me, stay with this dying business.
But all of them could be called possibly as witnesses by any of the parties?
No, everybody went by the station in South Beach.
Mm-hmm.
A group of them went by the station in South Beach and explained what I tell them they should have gone right through the corner by the traffic station.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they went by the South Beach station and cleared up. But that's kind of dangerous now, because ain't nobody there going to say what that gentleman was telling that police.
Yes, that's why...
Apparently, you know the police because he called the police and that particular police come. What a coincidence.
Right. Right, and so that's why it's
careful with that.
The police protect themselves by following the procedure to the letter, right? The police have to understand that these procedures are also put in place to protect them from accusations, right?
Okay, but like I said,
yes,
it's kind of strange.
Absolutely, I hear you. Thank you.
Coincidence, you know.
Yeah, I mean, right, it could be a coincidence entirely.
You had a joy, man. I'm still listening.
Thank you very much, sir. Absolutely. Have a great day. Some quick headlines I had, but we didn't get to touch yet, Mr. Newry. Fraud issues behind Finco's $500 ATM daily limit. Royal Bank of Canada's RBC BSIC's listed mortgage financier had this week imposed $500 daily automated teller machine withdrawal limits in a bid to better protect customers from fraud. The institution makes the point that this will only impact Finco Finance Corporation of the Bahamas clients and not all RBC clients. The thing is, you reduce the daily limit to $500. You do give your customers 4 free monthly ATM withdrawals per client, right? Customers can go into the bank if they need to withdraw more. But I question, were there other measures that could have been adopted before they made this move? Like, could they have increased the security measures, right, that they provide? Like a locked room ATM that requires a PIN to enter the ATM room along with the card, right? Extra cameras in the ATM room to ensure that you capture the faces of all people using the machine in case an instance of fraud arises. But why does it seem that whenever there's an issue with the service provider, that the customer has to suffer? Y'all want to make 2024 wages. You want to make 2024 profits, but you're not offering 2024 services with 2024 protocols. But the prices are 2030 prices. Another quick story, government to move on cannabis bill. Government to move on cannabis bill. And then that story that I missed on Thursday, Mitchell disclosures, quote, none of your business. See?
Can we talk about that on Wednesday?
Of course. I blame the reporter. No, we can't talk about it on Wednesday.
I talk about
things that grow.
On Wednesday?
Yeah. Talking agriculture.
Okay.
Anyway, we're all out of time, Mr. Newry.
Yeah.
At least for this hour.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you let me stick around and pester you in your hour. I'm not going to be pestering you at all.
Okay.
I'm going to sit back and be polite.
Okay.
Absolutely. Thank you for tuning in to On the Clock with Erin Green. Thank you, Mr. Newry, you guys, and thank you to the texters. Have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.